Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Okay, yeah, so just to go in greater depth of the family meeting yesterday, I wanted to include Sherry's input, and Sherry was one of the organizers of the family meeting yesterday. Sherry, we were just talking before about how powerful it was and how refreshed everyone felt after it. Marie, who's one of my best friends who's here with me, she didn't get to join because the club hit capacity so fast. I think she joined for like the last, what, like half an hour maybe?
Half an hour. I came in when Deacon Joseph was having a very powerful...
Deacon Joseph. Oh, Joseph.
Having his very powerful speech, like, and it kind of made me well up a little bit. I was like, what did I just walk into right now?
Yeah.
So that was the one I was able to join, but it seemed really conducive.
And... So yeah, just for everyone who didn't get to join or see the full thing so they have more context. Yeah, it was very powerful. I think it was great. I didn't expect it to go bad, but I was kind of anxious on how it was going to go just from things I was seeing previously. But I definitely want to get your perspective from how it went about planning and how you feel coming out of it, because you're kind of one of the OG Black Twitter members, I would say. Like I said, I'm a bit younger, so I didn't really know too much. But yeah, I'd love to get your point of view about it.
So when we had planned it, like, it was very like the day it happened. So yesterday when it happened, literally the planning went in the day before, like, and it was the communication with everybody that was on board was kind of really spotty because, like I had tweeted, we all have our hands in so many different projects right now, even though we're in a pandemic. Like, we've all just been busy with a lot of things. And so basically when, you know, the tweets had hit the timeline, there were allegations that were brought up against me that I was a known colorist and that I had made certain comments towards my ex-boyfriend Royston while we were dating. And to see those, it really did bother me, because at the time I wasn't even aware of the role I had to play in it.
Right.
And that was me speaking from my privilege, like not even thinking me being an enabler or me saying certain things to him was also fueling this larger issue of colorism in our community. And I felt like the tone of the timeline, I felt like if I spoke, it was like a damned if I do, damned if I don't situation. And I didn't think it was going to be productive. So I actually reached out to CN, who was a mediator on the Zoom conversation last night, who is the founder of TVOC Network, which is the voice of the community, and which I've been working with them since a couple weeks ago when we had our tragic incident in Toronto with Regis's family. And I just said, hey, just so you know, like, this is what's being said about me, in full transparency, this is what's being said about me. And being that we're working together, I want you to be aware of that, especially since the foundation is created by Black people. It's for Black people. It's for the community. Like, I have to be transparent. And it was just her idea. Initially, she was like, let's go on Instagram Live. Like, you and Royston go on Instagram Live, you kind of address it. And I was just like, you know what, that's a bit too much of an intimate setting, and it takes away from the conversation that really needs to be had with the people affected. And she was like, you know, why don't we do a Zoom or a WebEx or a group FaceTime? Like, she just started shooting ideas out there. And I said, you know what? Zoom would probably be the most controlled setting that we could do it in. And then we literally just went to work. I just asked Royce and said, hey, how do you feel about this? Give me a couple dates and times. He said he was down. And then I started thinking, like, who's unbiased and on the timeline that we can reach out to? And then we reached out to Jordan, because Jordan is just loved by everybody. And we felt like that would be the best idea. And like I said, it honestly came together in chaos. Literally 15 minutes before the Zoom started was when we all spoke together on the phone for the first time and said,
right,
game plan. Like, we had 15 minutes to figure it out. And we just went with it. And honestly, like, it couldn't have gone any better, because as you mentioned, like, the things that were transpiring on the timeline beforehand, I really went into it thinking, like, this is just probably going to be counterproductive to what we were trying to do.
Mm-hmm. And did you think that you were going to bring that many people in? Because like I said, the club at capacity,
I wouldn't even say
4 minutes in, it was already at like 100 people. And I was like, people were like, I can't get in. I was like, girl, I don't know the bouncer, like.
I know. Seriously. No, I actually had no idea it would hit capacity. I really thought it was just going to be me and like the six people I have problems with on Twitter, like just going back and forth. I didn't think it was actually going to be as many people coming with an open perspective and willing to participate. And yeah, I remember, like, I just saw it starting to fill up. I couldn't even keep up with admitting everybody that was in the waiting room. And at the same time, I was like texting Royston, who was habitually late for everything. And I was like, you need to get in right now or I can't help you. Like, because it was already at like 90 at that point, and he hadn't joined. And I was like, you need to get in right now or you're going to miss your spot. And it was crazy. I literally had people, like, I felt like I was a promoter. People were texting me like, yo, take someone out and let me. And I was like, no, we're not doing that. You're just going to have to wait in the waiting room until somebody drops out. And it like stayed stagnant at 100 for the entire 4 hours. Like, people were dropping out and coming right back in. And it was crazy. Like, I really didn't think that many people were going to tune in, that many people were going to participate. I don't know if you guys have mentioned it, but it did go on for like 4 hours, and initially we were only going to do it for two, thinking that would have covered all the bases, and like, it could have really gone on all night, because I know people were still wanting to talk, but I was
just right,
like, guys, we got to wrap it up. I got to be up at 6 a.m. for work. Like, we can do this again another time.
Yeah. And how do you feel like personally coming out of it, like from your personal perspective, even outside of planning it, like listening to everyone speak and kind of say their piece and touch on issues that they have, like, what are your personal feelings coming out? Obviously, I know they're positive, but just want to hear them in your words.
Honestly, like, I literally feel like all of today, I felt like just on cloud nine, like just proud of myself, proud of everyone, but like really proud of myself for the personal growth. Before we even like congregated, before we had that Zoom call, I was having private conversations with people, and there's like, you know what, like the tone on the timeline, like maybe you should just reschedule. Like, a lot of people are just kind of reaching out, obviously with their best interests, like maybe this isn't the best way to go about it. And I literally was going to cancel it. Like, literally at 7 o'clock, I was making calls and saying like, maybe we should just cancel and reschedule for another day and get more people on it. And like having anxiety, because I was just like, this is not going to end well. And like you mentioned, like, I've been on Twitter since I was still in high school. I'm a grown, a touching 28-year-old soon. I've been on there for about 11 years. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you know, like, I know how people in Toronto get down. Like, this can get messy. I don't want to open this conversation, then by the end of the day, we're at people's houses trying to fight. Like, that's not what we want.
That's what honestly I was scared of. I was like, I feel like someone's gonna drop an address, and then all of a sudden we're all gonna get disconnected, and it's gonna be like darkness.
I really thought it was just like, you know, like I was gonna blink and it was just gonna be a full-out brawl, like on the streets with all of us. And I really am proud of myself, because I know how I can get, and sometimes I'm not receptive and open to hearing people critiquing me, and I will automatically get defensive.
Well, and that's the cancer in us. We have the same birthday.
Exactly. And CN was just like, to me, you need to check your ego and your pride and just be open to hearing whatever it is people are going to say. And that is hard to do. Like, that is a really hard thing to do, especially when you're dealing with people that you have years of like personal problems with. That is a really hard concept to do, especially between like women to women, when you have those type of issues. For me to just even be a bigger person when I'm just like, why should I? right? That's how I've carried myself my entire life. Why do I have to be the bigger person, to then go to where I was yesterday? Like, just the amount of people that even reached out to me were like, yo, I'm so proud because of how well you handled it, because the old Sherry wouldn't have even been able to be in a space like this, to have this mm-hmm. conversation. Like, it would have just been like, here's my address, let me know when you're here, you know? Like,
right.
So for us to have it, like, I really got really emotional yesterday, and like, I was just like, you know what, I'm not gonna let these people see me cry just yet. Like, we have so many other topics we need to talk about, but I wanted to bawl my eyes out because of all, like, everybody's growth, mm-hmm. everyone's growth from it. And like, I just felt so amazing today, and just for everybody to say like, this really helped them and how healing it was. I've never known myself to be a healer. I've never put myself in that position, and it wasn't even something I wanted to, like, you know, that wasn't a position I was trying to take on. I just was like, you know what, let's just find a way to fix it. But for it to turn into a conversation that was healing, and people left light and said, you know, like, I just woke up so, you know, in such good spirits this morning. Like, it just felt so amazing. And I hope that I can continue to do that for our community.
Yeah, this was a first step, but a great first step. I think it was huge, because I mean, I've had my fair share of arguments. I mentioned earlier, like, things with people who were in that meeting that, you know, I didn't expect to ever sit with them and like be so open to speak in front of those people and accept what they were saying. Something that was also big for me as well. And I think it allowed some healing. I reached out to people who I haven't spoken to because of stupid issues in the past or up and downs in friendships. So that was also big for me too. And I also think one thing before that I think people didn't expect it to be so emotional. Which is how we were seeing people had questions, valid questions about, like, you know, we need a professional, and this is political, this is a deeper issue, and colorism is from history. Like, you know, I always saw that, which are valid questions, but I really don't think people really expected to go in there. Like, it was called family meeting. You know, when you go into, and even I was like, when you go into a family meeting, you know, it's supposed to be emotional, it's supposed to vent to each other and express your feelings. So I think people kind of missed that idea and didn't actually accept it until they stepped in the room. They're like, oh damn, like, we're talking, like, we're expressing ourselves. So I think that was kind of the miscommunication, but I'm glad it came to light as soon as that meeting started and everything was so positive. There wasn't one moment where I kind of questioned anything. And I commend you for starting that. That was great. And I hope we can continue it, because, like, we kind of spoke on the podcast, which you'll hear when we finish it. We need to uplift. We're so much stronger as a unit.
Yeah.
And we need to uplift each other, and we need to support the Black community. And like Marie was saying, a part of the podcast as well, we really need to make sure that our dollar stays within the Black community.
Absolutely.
And that's a big thing. And I think that this will help. I think that we have so many creative people that we know too, whether they're creatives or marketers or people who love to throw parties and get the community together, or business oriented. Just, we have so many minds out, even outside of just the Toronto Black community, just the Black community in general in Toronto. Right. So even if we reach out to them by some way, I think it's huge, and we can definitely change the city, let alone the world.
Yeah. And I just feel like yesterday was like such a huge first step for us to take. And I was just even thinking, like, you know, like, us in Toronto, like, we're such an aggressive bunch. Like, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We're very passionate. We will argue.
Face capital.
Haters. Exactly. And we will ride and die behind our opinions. Like, that's just mm-hmm. how we are. And imagine if we just took that energy, instead of fighting each other, we start to fight, like, the bigger enemy, you know,
bigger issue. Exactly.
Bigger issue. Like, if we could band together and just take on, like, the policies, the systematic oppression, like, talking to politicians, talking to the police, like, imagine if we came forward, like, a forefront and said, like, we're not going to tolerate this anymore, but with the same aggression we were giving each other to the people mm-hmm. that are holding us back.
Amen. Like,
we would change, and we will change. Like, I feel like yesterday was a big step, and I think we're all starting to get it. And, you know, this is a conversation I even had both prior to this. Is like, this generation has lived through 2011, which we saw Trayvon Martin, we saw mm-hmm. you know, Mike Brown, we've saw so many injustices happen. And I think we're at a point where we're fed up, and we're starting to see, like, guys, we really need to get it together. But in Toronto, it's just like those personal issues were holding us back from ever getting together. And I'm glad that we could just bury that yesterday and continue to keep each other accountable and continue to keep the peace, because, man, like I said, we're a force to be reckoned with. If anything mm-hmm. was proven last night, it's that when we come together, we're powerful.
Yeah, I agree. Do you want to
say that? Yeah, I was just going to say, just from the outside looking in, because, you know, part of the issue kind of was personal in terms of things Royston may have said or whatever. But looking at it, I just thought, like, this is a great platform, a great forum. And how could this potentially be scaled up to kind of reach people beyond us, right? Like I'm an outsider in a way. Like, I know certain characters here and there. But I think the themes that were touched yesterday, colorism, racism, Black unity, all this stuff, like, these themes happen in everyday, like, relationships, friend groups, or etc. And I think what happened yesterday, it would be amazing if it was scaled up in a way to impact other groups of Black people, you know, our age group or younger. And so I was wondering if you, like, had spoken with the people that hosted it with you yesterday, moderated with you, and any ideas for going forward to kind of scale this idea up.
Yeah, absolutely. I think once we all debriefed and we touched base today, I think everybody that was helping and that was behind it, we're all just like, you know what, we're down to continue it. We're down to continue having these conversations. And so we had, you know, created the Twitter last night, at family meeting, but it's missing all the vowels. I won't bother spelling it out, but you get the
Yeah, I'll definitely include it. I'll include it when I post everything.
And I opened that conversation, like, guys, like, send me your critiques. Like, if there were things that were missing yesterday, because, like, we didn't know what we were doing. We're just a bunch of Twitter people that just came together and said, yo, this has to change. Like, we got to stop with this negativity. You know what I mean? I'm not. And I said that yesterday. That was the first thing that came out of my mouth, is that I am in no way able, like, a leader, or, you know what I mean, or facilitator for this conversation, especially about colorism. But I want us to talk about it. And mm-hmm. we definitely are, like, taking in what topics and critiques people are saying. We're definitely going to upgrade the Zoom account so more people can get in, so that more people can participate. Because I know a lot of people kind of said, like, we want to see the recording because we weren't mm-hmm. able to get in. So it's definitely a conversation. We're just trying to manage it in a way that we took in all the concerns on the timeline. It's been noted. It did not go unheard, and how we can kind of push forward in the future and make sure that we're not being exclusionary in any aspect. But yeah, everybody that was on it yesterday was down to continue. So I'm really, really thankful that we did come together. And, you know, like I said, you guys who are listening to this, feel free to send your topic suggestions, people who you think could be a host. Like, we're open to changing the people that were on there. We're kind mm-hmm. of as the same group, but the hosts are always interchangeable. The mediators are always interchangeable. The facilitators, guest speakers, all of that is open to anyone who wants to jump in, because it's an open space for people to talk.
That's great.
Make that clear, like, because I think that was kind of lost in translation with the graphic. And, you know, anybody reading this again, like, sorry, hearing this again, I do apologize. Like, it's kind of hard to articulate what the vision I had. What happened yesterday was kind of a small, like, the vision I had was a very small percentage of what transpired, but
right. That's
what I had seen. And there's no way to really articulate how I wanted that to happen. So I'm glad people came in with an open mind to see. And we're always willing to take in new people who want to speak, because I'm not trying to silence anybody within our community. I want to amplify that voice.
Yeah, you're right. Now, I think Jordan had a tweet that was like, for all the new people following me, I hope you realize I'm not a full-time activist. And I felt that, because I was like, I'm literally not. I'm here to bring the change, but I'm literally like, it's obviously a passion, but yeah, this is not like something I think about full time. It's just, I'm here to make a change, and I'm going to do whatever that takes. I'm going to use my voice in the best way I can. So I commend you for doing that. Thank you very much for including me and inviting me personally. I was very glad I can be a part of history, I would call it. So
yeah, it really was. And I honestly, like, I said it to you personally, and I'll say it to you again, like, I'm so thankful that you came and that you used your voice and you articulated yourself really well, and you asked the right questions. And, like, I just can't be any more thankful, not just for you, but for every person that participated yesterday, because it just made the conversation that much more meaningful.
Yeah. So yeah, that was great. Thanks for joining, though. No problem. Hopefully we hear this back, and this is great, guys. But yeah, episode one, premiere. Yeah, you'll meet her eventually. Okay, thanks, Sherry.
No problem. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.